What is going on? Thank you for tuning in to the MMA podcast, the second podcast of the new year 2017, and we have a ton to break down. Of course, this coming Sunday, we got a big card, UFC Fight Night 103, Yair Rodriguez taking on the returning legend BJ Penn. We're gonna break that card down. Also, a week of mixed martial arts news. We officially have a welterweight championship rematch between Tyron Woodley and Steven Thompson, and it looks like we might have an interim lightweight championship made between Khabib Nurmagomedov and Tony Ferguson. That, a few other bits of MMA news of the week. Thanks for tuning in. Let's do it.
Listening to the MMA podcast.
Thank you, Lenny Hart. Thank you, Smoke Serpent. Thank you for tuning in. We are on Twitter at the MMA podcast. Our co-host P Money is on Twitter at Sweet Pappy Jones. Pat, what's going on, brother?
Oh, Big Jake, we're surviving the SoCal rainstorm out here this Friday the 13th.
Some rain in the desert.
Oh, man. I miss you.
Oh, shit.
Like the desert, miss the rain. Always a pleasure getting back to you on this special. I mean, it's a rainy day. It's Friday the 13th. Oof, what's going on? It's either a super good luck day or super bad luck day. I'm more of a glass half full kind of guy, so let's rock this one out, bro.
I didn't realize it was Friday the 13th until you just said it. Damn, I better batten down the hatches until tomorrow. So I know what the fuck I'm hearing, Jason. Pretty relaxed week in mixed martial arts. It should work out to be a pretty short show. We actually thought about just breaking down this card last week and not even doing a card this week, but figured we'd probably be better off doing a couple of short shows instead of one long one and then just not doing anything this week. So we are here, albeit probably briefly this week to talk about the weekend MMA news. Of course, nothing happened this past weekend. Jesus Christ, I'm hearing sirens in the background. It is Friday the 13th. Probably the biggest news of the day was this morning Dana White going on Fox Sports 1 on The Herd. And I don't know if he was actually formally making the offer through the show, but apparently he either let the world know that the offer had been made or actually made the offer right there and said Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather would both get $25 million and a portion of pay-per-view money. I don't know what this means as far as, is it going to be an MMA event if the UFC puts it on? I still would assume this is going to be a boxing competition because, you know, if Floyd is going to do this, I doubt he does it with mixed martial arts rules. And Conor has already said he is willing to box. So I still think it would be a boxing main event. But, yeah, I guess Dana, you know, kind of realized how much money this would make. This obviously would be something Conor would be interested in. But would Floyd could probably promote this himself and make $100 million easy. I don't think Floyd comes anywhere close to biting on this offer, when he could promote the show himself. But, hey, I think nothing more than showmanship to be honest, to just kind of, I think Dana's sort of calling the bluff that Conor and Floyd are both making, which if you don't think Conor and Floyd are both acting together, this is brilliant for both of them. This is two businessmen And this is Floyd elevating his stock because he's, you know, going outside of his, you know, he's so good in boxing that he's getting challenges from stars of other sports. And obviously this is up in Connor's stock, you know, just putting himself in the same sentence as Floyd ups his stock. So I think this is helping both guys. I think this is, all silly, to be honest. I mean, I'm half enjoying seeing all of these crazy headlines, but for a second, do I think we're ever going to see Conor McGregor versus Floyd? No, I really don't. What did you make of Dana's offer?
Well, I think you're spot on, Jake, with your overall analysis of the situation. I really think that Dana, just also being a businessman himself, had to put some sort of offer out on the table, had to put something just to keep his name in the mix. I mean, Connor being the talent that is under his contract at the moment, or rather the entertainment group that now owns the UFC, probably owns the right to that contract. But be that as it may, you know, with all this hot talk, Dana White being a businessman, staying relevant by association, just needs to put, you know, the UFC in the mix, saying, hey, you know, you guys want to do this fight, we got some good money, we got some good terms for you. And really, like, anybody would take that fight, anybody would take that money. Call me up if you need Conor McGregor. I'll fight Conor McGregor for 12.5. Screw it, I'll make it 5 right now. I'll just keep lowballing myself. Ultimately, Floyd Mayweather, like you're saying, he puts this fight on himself under his own promotion. He's making at least twice what he would, probably 3 times what he would with this UFC deal. Not that it's a stingy deal. Again, at least, you know, by my terms. But hey, these are a bunch of shrewd businessmen we're talking about here. They know what they're doing. They're trying to leverage their brand for as much as it's worth, and you know, they're really not trying to give up that much. So. I'm with you. I don't think this fight's really ever going to happen. This has as much chance of happening as Fedor versus Brock in the Russian stadium that the UFC builds. It's
Ronda
just,
Rousey
we're not
loses
see it.
Again. Amanda.
Yeah, for some, she did lose, but for some reason, a tab that I had open for literally like 10 minutes, all of a sudden just started piping up with some autoplay video. I X'd out of it immediately, but I wish I knew who it was just so I could publicly shame them. If you run a website and you have audio or video that plays automatically, please kill yourself. Like, that is the most annoying, that is probably the single most annoying thing on the face of planet Earth. When I'm just chilling, trying to relax, I might have music going, I might just be enjoying the silence, and I open up a tab, and you got audio yapping at me, and video, and I have 10 tabs open, and I have to look at each one, and see where, just don't do all, autoplay anything, and if you really feel you must, kill yourself. Moving on, after that cheery note about autoplay videos, something that probably will happen is Stephen Thompson and Tyron Woodley 2, the rematch. For a while there, it was looking like we might not see it. I guess Nick Diaz was offered a spot against Woodley, turned it down because he wasn't getting paid enough. Woodley tweeted at Damian Maya to fight, but I'm glad that Thompson, you know, I think we spoke about it when the fight was over and agreed that Thompson deserved him another fight by, you know, fighting Woodley to a draw. Woodley again opens as an underdog, plus 105 to Thompson, who I believe was like minus 120 or minus 115 or something. seventh time in a row that Woodley has opened as an underdog. He's 4-1-1 in the last 6, so, you know, he's definitely proven the betters wrong, holds the belt, and will put it back up against the line against Thompson, who just fought him real close. And you know, I think a lot of people expected Thompson to win a one-sided fight the first time around. This second time around, though, man, Woodley fought an incredibly cerebral and with an awesome game plan. Man, I can't wait to see these dudes fight again, because, I mean, we really might be looking at the best two welterweights in the world. And they fought a razor thin. I mean, I agreed with the draw. I didn't think either guy did enough to win the fight conclusively or decidedly. So I'm really glad that they're going to scrap once again at UFC 209, which I believe is going to be in March 4th in Las Vegas. Should be a lot of fun. Sucks we aren't going to see Nick Diaz fight for a title at UFC 209. But you know what? Apparently he was offered the fight, and it was his choice not to be on the card. So I can't really be too mad about it.
Yeah, that's true. Would have been good to see Stockton Zone fight at UFC 209. But this really is a great outcome. Tyron Woodley versus Stephen Thompson too. You got to run it back after that first match going to the draw. I also thought it was a draw. You had the 10-8 for Tyron and three rounds for Wonder Boy. I don't know. I thought it was a draw. The majority of MMA media outlets scored it a draw for the bout. So not disappointed to see this one get ran back. It was an exciting fight the first time. I really feel like this is going to go either one of two ways. This is going to be like Machida Shogun 2, Tyron being the Shogun, if you will, and just storming in there with the blitzkrieg and getting that knockout early, saying, you know, I've been through 25 minutes already. Let's just skip to conclusion here. Or Stephen Thompson has a little bit more of a refined game plan. Keeps his head on his shoulders for 25 minutes and gets the unanimous decision, if not a late stoppage. Man, it's going to be a great fight. I don't even know how to call it. I was thinking fairly soundly Stephen Thompson was going to take it. I mean, you can never count out Tyron Woodley. He's a beast. He's got the power. He's got the striking. He's got the wrestling. It's really the height and reach and just the diversity of striking of Wonder Boy that makes him the threat that he is. He shored up a lot of his grappling game, so he's getting more diverse himself. My goodness, I really don't even know how to predict this one with their first fight being a draw. Good thing we have a little bit of time to mold this one over, but very excited that this one got announced.
Talking to you is more relaxing and soothing with the background of the rain pouring there. It's true. It's a very very nice and tranquil ambiance there.
My predictions are always accurate.
Another fight which has been confirmed, even though apparently only one side has signed the papers. Habib and Tony Ferguson, we've talked about the fight going back and forth. The last thing we heard was Ferguson wanted to get paid the same as Habib. Apparently he has accepted taking a little bit less now. UFC President Dana White confirming to the LA Times and ESPN verbal agreements are in place for an interim lightweight title bout between Habib Nurmagomedov and Tony Ferguson at UFC 209 on March in Las Vegas. UFC is waiting on a signed bout agreement from Ferguson. According to White, Habib is in. So this would be probably the co-main of that Woodley Thompson card. Habib opening as a 2-1 favorite, which is pretty big considering how well Ferguson has looked in his last eight or nine fights. Do you agree with that line? Do you think Nurmagomedov should be that staunch a favorite over Ferguson, who's been absolutely rolling?
No, I don't think so at all. That seems a bit out there. I'd say maybe at best like a -150 Habib, +150 Tony. That's at best. This fight, talk about razor thin fights. Beast, Jake. Freaking beasts. Oh my God, Habib, he'll friggin' he'll ground you into the fucking dirt, pound the shit out of you. He's impossibly sticky. Gets these takedowns where it's like, you would laugh if anyone else shot for a takedown like that, but just the way he grapples, it seems like as long as he just grabs a hold of you, as long as he's able to just snatch you up in some fashion, as long as he just gets his arms around your body, he's going to rest you down on the mat and just pressure you and pound you and just wear you down from there. Tony, just shockingly violent. Amazing work. He's really just come together everywhere, showing all the grappling, all the striking. Man, I don't know about that that minus or that 2-1 underdog. I see this fight a lot closer.
Yeah, I actually do as well. And yeah, on Five Dimes, he's -170 to Ferguson's +140. I imagine that line might get closer between now and March 4th. I think that's just about it. There were other little bits of news in MMA. Conor McGregor is going to do a one-hour sit-down with Ariel on the 28th. Maybe we'll find out more about his future then. Meryl Streep said some shit about MMA, but honestly, I don't even know who Meryl Streep is. So there's no reason to... Yeah, some old lady. So I guess aside from that, we can move on and briefly talk about this Penn versus Rodriguez card. Not exactly the most stacked card in the history of UFC. It's going to be a pretty late card. It starts the same time your pay-per-views start at 10 p.m. Eastern, but on a Sunday, because I guess... because of the MLK weekend, maybe. Most people have Monday off. So they're doing it Sunday night, January 15th, from the Talking Stick Resort Arena at Phoenix, Arizona. Or in Phoenix, Arizona. Like I said, there's not really many notable names on the prelims. Frankie Saenz and Augusto Mendez is your headliner of the prelims. Walt Harris fighting a guy with no Wikipedia. Your first three fights on the UFC Fight Pass prelims, the six fighters have a combined zero Wikipedias. Amanda Nunes' girlfriend, Nina Ansaroff, is fighting Jocelyn Jones, Liebarger. I know who that is. Walt Harris, like I mentioned before, Alexi Olnik versus Victor Pesta. Not a lot really standing out on the prelims. Do any of those names mean anything to you?
Well, you know, it's so funny how you mentioned Amanda Nunes' girlfriend, Nina Ansaroff, because in Amanda Nunes' victory speech, she was saying how Nina's going to be the next UFC champion. Meanwhile, she is fighting Jocelyn Jones Liesberger in a loser leaves town match, most likely. These women are both 0-2 in the UFC. They are mostly just, I guess, because Nina's dating a UFC champion. That's probably the only reason they are the featured bout on the UFC Fight Pass portion of the card. Well, that, and they've got Wikipedias, the other fighters don't. Presumably all UFC, yeah, these are all UFC newcomers. Bohan Mihailovic, I don't know why that name sounds familiar. I guess I'll be interested just to see who the hell that is, just because that name sounds familiar. But I mean, the Fox Sports 1 preliminary portion of the card, I feel like does have some decent matchups, at least, you know, Frankie Saenz versus Augusto Mendez, solid bantamweight scrap, Alexi Olenek versus Victor Pesto. That should be some good heavyweight action. And Alex White versus Tony Martin, both of those guys, some young bucks, some young go-hards. I feel like they'll put on a good little scrap there. And Walt Harris, of course, he always turns in some good shows, at least typically. Chase Sherman, let's see if that's just going to be... I mean, his fight versus... the Al Capone, Nikita Krylov. His fight against Krylov was great. I love that one. That was a fantastic finish. But who knows? Maybe this will be a little showcase for him against Chase Sherman. Yeah, interesting. I feel like the UFC Fight Pass portion of the prelims is very whatever. But the Fox Sports 1 portion of the prelim cards, not too bad.
And, yeah, the main card, like I mentioned, will start at 10 p.m. Eastern on Fox Sports 1. Some sneaky good fights. We were supposed to see Brian Caraway versus Jimmy Rivera. However, I guess just about 10 or 11 days ago, Caraway pulled out of the bout due to a strained ovary, replaced by Marlon Vera. And he was replaced by Vera, and it was going to be Jimmy Rivera taking on Marlon Vera, who I believe is coming off a couple losses. I don't know. He's 1-1 in his last two, but unranked, and Rivera eventually pulled out of the fight, saying he felt going from a top five ranked fighter to an unranked one wouldn't make sense at the moment. So I don't know if we'll see Caraway and Rivera get slotted for a future fight, but both of them pulled from the card. But one thing I do see between all the guys on the main card, a lot of grappling talent. This is going to be, you know, not all of them necessarily have knockout power. But in all of the fights, starting with Moraga Pettis, they're pretty decent on the ground. Moraga and Pettis kind of have established themselves as kind of gatekeepers at 125. Pettis only losing twice in, I believe, seven fights at flyweight in the UFC, losing to Ryan Benoit and Alex Caceres. The Caceres fight, I believe, being at bantamweight. John Moraga, you know, wins. He's got a lot of impressive flyweight victories. Chris Carriasso, Dustin Ortiz, Justin Scoggins. He actually got a title shot back in 2013. And has only lost to top guys like Johnson, Dodson, and Benavidez. So these are two, maybe, you know, top 10, top 15 area flyweights who have been gatekeepers for a while, and this will kind of sort out the flyweight division further. Court McGee and Ben Saunders, you know, this is another fight that screams grappling. Saunders training with I think he's a black belt under Ricardo Laborio, and also trains a lot of 10th Planet with Eddie Bra over in California. 4-1 in his last five fights since joining the UFC. I think, I'm not sure what the line is on this one. Let me look. Yeah, it's very even. Pretty much even odds there. Minus 115 for Saunders, minus 105 for Court McGee. Sergio Pettis, a slight favorite in their match. The co-main event, dead even between Joe Lauzon and Marcin Held. Joe, who's been around the UFC forever now. I mean, He's probably got the most fights in, or is up there with most fights in the UFC. Probably has over 20 UFC fights now. A ton of subs on his record, but lately been struggling a little bit. 1-2 in his last three fights, losing to Evan Dunham and Jim Miller. Taking on Marcin Held, the young 24-year-old grappler from Poland, who since coming over from Bellator, lost also to Diego Sanchez. Joe beat Diego, and Diego beat Held. And this will be Held's second fight in the octagon since putting up an impressive, he was like 12-2 or something. He did very well in Bellator. Actually got a title shot against Will Brooks before coming over too tough. So this probably, I don't know, this I don't know if Joe would want to keep it standing or what, but you know, both of these guys have killer jiu-jitsu, and I would love to see this fight go to the mat. What do you make of those three fights before we get to the main event and then get out of here?
Oh, I like this main card. As you mentioned, this is, you know, kind of low key, but if you look at the fights, I mean, these are some great matchups. John Moraga and Sergio Pettis. I think really the key with all these fights, the top four on the main card, is that everybody is really good pretty much everywhere where the fight goes. Everybody's got the striking and the grappling aspects down. John Moraga, well-rounded everywhere. He's finishing you with strikes and subs. Same with Sergio Pettis. That's going to be a real good litmus test for Sergio Pettis at flyweight. I want to say this is only going to be his fourth fight at flyweight in the UFC. Did the majority of his teeth cutting at bantamweight, I believe. Court McGee versus Ben Saunders, both good everywhere. Ben Saunders, he's got some notorious clinch work there, great knees. Court McGee, great hands. He's got some solid fundamental boxing. Also has some great wrestling, offensive as well as defensive. And Ben Saunders is very creative on the ground. I mean, we saw him, was it the Goga Plata or the Oma Plata finish? We saw him get in the UFC. I want to say he was the first person to get one of those. So I'm very much looking forward to those, to that bout. And Joe Lozon versus Martin Held. I mean, man, that's a very tough first two for Martin. Losing one to Diego and then getting the guy that beat Diego in about 5 seconds, Joe Lozon, UFC veteran for over a decade now. He's got to be coming up on 12 years in the organization. Man, yeah, very tough draw for Martin. And you know what, though? Actually, I will have to take back my good everywhere. Martin, man, hate to say it, pretty much you're getting the grappling with him. Not a whole lot with the striking department. At least, you know, just my assessment. Joe, though, I mean, man, that is a very strong department. Martin, very accomplished. He's another one of those guys, very, very strong grappler. I mean, man, real sticky. He gets a hold of any part of you. Good luck getting him off. It's a very tough game. So certainly not an easy draw for Joe on the flip side of that coin. But I've certainly got to favor him in that matchup. But, yeah, definitely liking this main card here.
And that brings us to the main event, which, man, what to say about this main event? If you have listened to the program for any extended amount of time, you will know that although most times I, you know, try and hold my bias in, BJ Penn is my favorite fighter of all time. He's, you know, when I got into the sport around 08, he was the guy fucking murdering it. You know, fucking, that was right around the Sean Sherk, Kenny Florian, Joe Stevenson, Diego Sanchez day, just murking everyone. I became a big fan. And of late, BJ Penn has looked bad. I'm not going to miss words. He looked like a fucking fool against Frankie Edgar the last time he stepped into the octagon, July 6, 2014. I was there in the Mandalay Bay, in Vegas, July 6th. It was the tough finale, Edgar versus Penn. It was the night before UFC 175, which I also was at, where Rousey tapped Alexis Davis in 13 seconds and Weidman had a fun fight with Lyoto, which, you know, how far has everyone fallen since then? Weidman just got fucking his dome cracked open like a coconut by the knee of Yoel Romero. Lyoto is probably, hasn't fought now in over a year because of that drug suspension. Rousey has lost twice. Davis, nowhere really near title contention. And your boy, BJ Penn, who has not fought since. It's been, I guess, about 2.5 years now. And, you know, the guy takes fights that are very, very difficult, and you know, you gotta give him praise there. You know, before Frankie, he had four welterweight fights. He fought Matt Hughes, who he beat, John Fitch, who he drew with, and then Nick Diaz and Rory McDonald, who completely just outsized them and picked them apart and made them look like a fool. Before the Hughes fight was obviously the two Frankie Edgar fights, who that's a whole nother avenue I'm not going to go down. But, yeah, in the last few years, it's been a rough road for Penn. And he's fighting a guy in Yair who is probably, you know, is way faster, is way younger, is explosive, is athletic as fuck, throws all sorts of crazy strikes, is a great grappler, and is deservingly a big favorite against Penn. I think right now on Five Dimes, he's -450. Yeah, -450 against Penn, who is +325. The one thing I can see in Penn's favor, in his favor, he's been training with Jackson's, the team that Rodriguez used to train with. He left to go train with forget the guy's name now. I'll look it up when you're talking, Pat. But Yair left. Penn's at his old gym, and his old gym happens to have the best coaching in the world with Greg Jackson and Mike Winklejohn. And there is a chance that Greg and Mike could draw up a perfect game plan for Penn, both knowing Rodriguez's weaknesses and Penn's strengths. And I will be rooting for Penn hardcore, and I really hope he wins the fight. But taking that out of it, I see Rodriguez dictating the range, dictating the pace. I don't know if Penn could bring him down. If they grapple, that, you know, could be a dangerous space for Yair. So as much as I want to take the second round or first round finish for my boy Penn, I see this being a third round stoppage TKO for Yair Rodriguez. Actually, you know what? Fuck that. BJ Penn first round knockout. Pat.
I like that. I like that. That's a very gutsy take there. You know, man, this is such a tough fight to call. I mean, everybody knows BJ Penn. If you're listening to this program, you are a fan of BJ Penn in some respect, or at least should have some respect for his body of work inside the UFC octagon and just in mixed martial arts in general. Truly one of the best from the golden era, and truly one of the best to ever compete. He's been one of the most well-rounded fighters since the beginning. I mean, he's had all the grappling skills, great striking, good power, two-division champion, but at the same time has only one win this decade. So it's very tough, even though he is fighting Yair Rodriguez, who just recently won a split decision against Alex Caceres. Man, it's really hard to give BJ this fight. Like you mentioned, it was 2.5 years since we last saw him fight Frankie Edgar for the third time, and it was just it was so unsettling. It was inexplicable. I don't even know what I saw that night. I don't know if it was the game plan, if it was the weight cut to 145 pounds. Hopefully BJ has taken his time and done it right this time. But he looked like he could barely move out there. He looked like he was stuck in quicksand or walking through water in a pool or something like that. Just wasn't even there versus a Frankie Edgar who hadn't lost a step since their bout or their set of bouts in 2010. So I don't know what to make of that. That was such a disturbing thing, and I've got such a hard time ever recalling seeing a fighter just seem so, I mean, except for maybe like the Ronda Rousey fight, you know, just someone who just seemed like they weren't even there inside the octagon. Man, BJ Penn, he's with Jackson Winklejohn, like you mentioned. I think pretty much everybody at least a good majority of people will say, hey, you know what, that's you're hard pressed to get a better camp than that. The caliber of training partners that they have for you, the coaching, they seem to have very good coaching minds. You know, they have good insight that they can offer in between rounds and draw up good game plans to begin with in the first place. So, he's really given himself the best chance to win here, I feel. After the way he came out in that third Frankie Edgar fight, it's so hard to pick him to win. I would love to see the old BJ come out and, you know, do what he does best, because certainly, you know, the BJ that we have seen before has the tools to get it done. I mean, a super decorated grappler, great striker, but, you know what, Yair, he's younger, he's taller, he's leaner, he's got the range. Man, I think you have to give it to him with a late finish in this one. I would love for BJ to prove me wrong in this one, and just to see him get a victory and, go out on a high note. I know I'd seen something recently that said BJ's talking about, 145-pound title is the plan. And I like that. I like that, motivated talk. Hopefully the actions match that in the octagon come Sunday night. But just given everything we've seen leading up to this, I feel like you got to go with Yair. Late finish.
P-Money going with a late finish for Yair. I know you got to get out of here, so where can the people find you?
Oh, well, they can find your boy at Sweet Pappy Jones on that Twitter machine. That's the place where you get at me. And, let us send all your derisive tweets this way.
Hell yeah. Send the tweets to Sweet Pappy Jones. Send the tweets to The MMA Podcast. Don't send tweets to Westland Eagle AH. Block Westland Eagle AH.
Ban him.
Block. Ban. Alan, you banned. Getting WhatsApp messages out the wazoo here. You done, son. Pat, I will talk to you later, buddy. Thank you for tuning in to the MMA Podcast. As always, you can hear the podcast on SoundCloud, iTunes. I think we're on Twitch. I think we might even be on TuneIn Radio. What am I leaving out? YouTube as well. Got to update the YouTube page. Thank you for listening to the shows. As always, if you want to listen live, we will tweet out when we do it live over the week. We've sort of been skipping around doing them Wednesdays and Thursdays. We did this show on a Friday. We're going to try and hammer down a specific time. Maybe we can get back to doing Wednesdays after UFC tonight. We will see. We will let you know. Appreciate the shit out of every single one of you. Love breaking down the MMA. We will be back next week to recap the Penn Rodriguez card and, of course, talk a little Sonnen versus Tito. That Bellator card we'll be previewing next week. Maybe we can get an interview on, maybe talk to Coach Jamie Huey or someone of the like. We appreciate it, and we will see you next week. Until then, we are.
Tune into the MMA Podcast every Tuesday night.
Got the wild style, always been a foul child. Will I, sucker? I'll be the coming like Noah.
The MMA Podcast, Jake is the host. And since Ramsey's been in a wheelchair, the Aunt Jimmy Show has been on the road. I wanna say John Jones is a hoe, so I think that I'll pick up the phone and dial 213-457-3380. We got hot takes on the stove. You get blood on your clothes if you're sitting in the front row. I throw on my gi and then I lace the hoops. I'll have Gal lying down cause he ain't the truth. And if Alan wasn't a cop, I'd mention you. And shout out to Ross Finkelstein the Jew, cause according to you, you're an MMA guru. A Rube Bisping lost his hands, Count Dooku. If you're a fancy boy, you get a 2-minute slot. Mystery wants a title shot. So listen to the MMA Podcast. Throw a high kick, but I flock that. Call me T-ass, screaming George, where you at? I want the strap, but you know that I'll never tap. So listen to the MMA Podcast. Throw a high kick, but I block that. Call me DS, screaming George, where you at? I want the strap, and you know that I won't tap. Mystery. The MMA podcast. Most of us just live and breathe this fighting shit.
Shut up, Jake. Shut up, Jake.